Hello, everyone, and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we continue our health article. We hope you enjoyed your New Year's Day yesterday. Back in the studio, I have Lois and Linda. Welcome, panelists.
Hi, Brandon.
Hi.
Did you enjoy your New Year's Day yesterday?
Well, we had to be here at the radio station, so we had to be panelists, so it was interrupted a bit.
How are you, Linda?
I still enjoyed it, yes.
Huh? What did you do?
I went cycling.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow. That's perfect, because yesterday and also today we're going to be talking about exercise, right? And, you know, we often, around this time of year, talk about exercise and goals and all of those kinds of things, and we hope that you think about that, but the hard part is implementing it, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think when the new year starts and you have New Year's Day, I know my tradition from my family is, don't ask me why we're eating again, but we always have a big dinner, early dinner, maybe around 5 o'clock, on New Year's Day.
What do you eat? Is there something special?
Roast beef dinner.
Okay.
Roast beef with all the trimmings. Really good, really homemade.
Yeah.
And then we generally have gone for a walk before the meal, and then we go for a walk after the meal.
Well, we have a sort of a tradition. I guess it's in the southern part of the U.S. I'm not sure. But we have black-eyed peas and cornbread, which if you have ever been to the South in the United States, cornbread is very popular. So that is something that we often eat at New Year's.
We eat a lot of cornbread in Canada, but I don't think that day.
Yeah. And, you know, so there are lots of things that you may be thinking about coming up for this new year, and you might get kind of stressed out about it. Now, you know, when you think about stress, there are a lot of things in our lives that stress us out, right, Linda?
Yes. It can come from work. It can come from family. It can come from social pressure. There are a lot of sources where stress can come from.
So before we dig into this article, what do you do when you're stressed out? What helps you to kind of overcome stress?
Well, believe it or not, I'm going to say a walk. It really does help me. Another thing I really enjoy doing is I like to have a foot soak.
Mm-hmm.
So put my feet, get a little tub all ready, and get a really nice smelling scent of some kind of foot suds or foot spa stuff.
Yeah.
And just sit there and relax.
That sounds good right about now. How about you, Linda?
Well, I like to do something physical to release that negative energy, that stress. So going out, maybe taking a walk or jumping on my bicycle.
Of course.
Or just being in nature will help relieve some of that stress.
It really does, especially if you live in a big city. And we are blessed here in this city because in Taipei, you can go into the mountains very quickly in a lot of places. And it's amazing. You're like, wow, am I in the same place? You know, it is such a blessing. And I need to take advantage of that more often because it just puts you kind of in a different place, in a different world.
It
has this like healing agent, even, you know, that you just kind of sense that it's, you know, kind of healing you, you know, emotionally or whatever. And so that's something to think about. You know, something, maybe you like to go for a massage if you're stressed out, you know, or doing some types of exercise or just, you know, enjoying a nice evening at home. If you're out all the time, sometimes it's nice just to sit back and relax and watch Netflix or something like that.
I like listening to classical music when I'm really stressed.
Mm-hmm.
I find that really helps me. Didn't help me when I was younger, but in my 50s, I find that it helps me, and I really do feel less stressed after maybe an hour or so of listening to that type of music.
Yeah, and oftentimes, and I don't know, listeners, if you're like me, sometimes I dwell on the issue, and that just causes you to be even more stressed out, right? You need to get away from that issue, and sometimes that means you need to get out of your house and go do something different. Right?
Yeah, or just do something that takes your mind off of whatever is stressing you out.
Right.
So you stop thinking about it for an hour, or a couple hours, and so you can have a fresh mind.
Read a book, something like that. What adds life back into you? I love that idea. I've talked about it before, but things that add life into you. And if you don't kind of schedule those things, you may you just become exhausted or burnt mm-hmm. out, right? And so it's something to reflect on as we begin a new year. If you look back at the last year and you think, wow, I did all of these things, but I don't need to do some of this stuff. I need to remove this from my schedule because it just stressed me out, right? So that's what our topic is today, overcoming stress. And we are on page 11, so if you have your magazines, you can follow along with us as we have our first reading for today.
Find your happy place. How to outsmart stress. If you're all too familiar with the physical sensation of being stressed, it may be time to make some changes. Over time, this can take a toll on your body, leading to ailments such as fatigue and headaches. Here are a few ways that research suggests can help you keep calm and carry on. Work up a sweat. When we're stressed, the part of our brain that registers fear lights up like a fireworks display. Regular exercise can provide a satisfying release for frustration and other negative feelings. It may put a damper on stress hormones, and it can trigger your body to release feel-good chemicals that can help boost your mood.
While many of us, we are all too familiar with the sensation of being stressed, and we can just rattle the list off of the things that mm-hmm. make us stressed out, whether it's living in a crowded city, if you're not used to that, or your work. I think that's a common one, right? We can be, you know, overwhelmed, or maybe certain life issues cause us to be stressed out. Well, here in this article, they suggest, of course, that it may be time to make some changes. And I think it's really good to read these kind of articles, Lois, because it helps us to stop and think, mm-hmm. you know, push pause and reflect, and, you know, what changes do I need to make?
Right. I know that this article totally reminded me of asking myself a question, Lois, what is stressing you out right now? And it might not be right in the moment, but I'll feel like I've had a stressful month or maybe weeks upon weeks. And I have to figure out for myself what is that button that's being pushed that's really stressing me out, because I find it affects my health.
I think a lot of times it's how we interpret situations and circumstances. You know, you can take two people going through the same exact things and they can respond very differently.
Right.
And so some people take on that stress and they're just easily stressed out and they think everything depends upon them. And then, you know, I tend to be someone who I can get stressed out very easily, right? And other people, you know, they just kind of take things in stride, right? What does that mean if you take something in stride?
Well, you don't let it affect you. You sort of let it roll off your back.
Yeah, right. Like water off of a duck's mm-hmm. back, right? But other people, it takes a toll on them. Over time, this can take a toll.
Right, and that's one of our vocabulary focuses for January 2nd. And it says if something takes a toll on you, it causes suffering. It can be something like a death, mm-hmm. or it can be something like maybe damage. And when I think of damage, I think maybe something's damaging your career, actually.
Yeah, stress can really cause lots of problems. It can cause problems to your health. You know, you can lose weight when you shouldn't be losing weight and so forth. And so it can really take a toll on your body. And it says here it can actually lead to ailments or sicknesses, right? And we have examples, fatigue and headaches. Just remind us of what fatigue is, Linda.
That's when you feel exhausted or you're tired all the time.
Yeah. Right, and, you know, so you have to reassess, what can I do? What do I need to take out of my schedule? Maybe you can't do much about your schedule right now. Can you exercise or do something else that will help alleviate the stress?
And let's have a reminder to our readers. It's the beginning of the year, so it is a new year. So sometime in this year, you should have a physical as well.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's something actually physically wrong with you.
Right.
So we do have to see our family doctor and make sure everything's okay.
Very good reminder. I need to do that probably. It's probably about time for that. Well, here are a few ways that research suggests can help you keep calm and carry on. What can we do to help alleviate some of that stress? The first one is to work up a sweat. That's a good phrase to know, Linda. When we say, I need to work up a sweat, what do we mean?
It means that you're doing some sort of physical activity to cause you to sweat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which of course is reemphasizing the fact that we need to exercise, which right. we talked about yesterday. We know that that's good, but here we're primarily talking about how it relates to stress.
Right, and some people will say, I need to work up a sweat, or somebody might say, break a sweat. Mm. It depends on where English is spoken in the world.
Now, here we see stress linked with fear. When we're stressed, the part of our brain that registers fear lights up like a fireworks display. Well, it's a good time to talk about fireworks. You know, New Year's Eve, you saw a beautiful fireworks display. Well, think of that in your brain and in this fear that's associated with stress. You know, it can take a toll on your body, right? And so regular exercise, of course, can help.
Right. And we really don't know all of the ailments or illnesses that stress can cause, but there are many. Probably a lot of the things that we feel when we're stressed, like all of the sickness that we might develop, that can somehow be related to stress. So like ulcers.
Okay, yeah, that's a big deal if you have an ulcer. And, you know, there's so many things in life you don't really realize that you should have make a change until something bad happens, right? And so, you know, all of these years stress is building up and you think, oh, well, I should have done something. Well, you know, here's a reminder. While you have a chance, you can make changes now. So, you know, this regular exercise, it can provide a satisfying release for frustration and other negative feelings. And it can actually put a damper on stress hormones. Now, what do we mean when we're putting a damper on something, Lois?
Well, we often think of damper as used to be kind of putting out a fire, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when we say it may put a damper on stress hormones, we're saying it may put them out, it may weaken them, mm-hmm. it may cause them to basically disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And it can trigger your body to release feel-good chemicals that can help boost your mood.
So it's saying here it's good that it puts a damper on the stress yes. hormones, right? You know, we don't want the stress. And then that word trigger is a good word. It can cause your body to release these chemicals that are feel-good chemicals, as they describe it.
Because we don't want something to trigger our stress hormones.
Right.
Or in other words, we don't want something to light up our stress hormones. So
right.
this is telling us what we can do.
But sometimes, or some types of stress can be good, right? So some people say, you know, I think there's maybe a certain amount of stress that helps you to produce at a level that maybe you wouldn't otherwise do it. You know, for example, you know, I'm thinking of the phrase crunch time. You know, that means that you have to get this done soon. You know, so we say it's crunch time. Maybe it's finals week at school and you have a lot of final exams coming and it's crunch time, meaning that you have to really focus, have an increased amount of focus during this time to prepare for the final exams. But anyway, a certain amount of stress can maybe help you to produce, but you don't want to, you know, have too much stress.
Right, and there's certain jobs that have a time where they have stress, and you want the person that has that job to be able to deal with the stress. I'm
yes.
thinking police officers.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm thinking emergency room attendants, right. whether that be doctors
yeah.
or nurses. I'm thinking of people that fly airplanes for a
right.
living. I'm thinking of
yeah.
paramedics.
Yeah.
So they deal with stress. Sometimes it's a lot in their job, sometimes
yeah.
it's every so often, and we're glad they can
yes.
have the right coping skills to,
right.
that, to
yeah.
deal with that stress.
Right, you have to, right? So here, you know, there are some chemicals that can actually help boost your mood is what we see here at the end of this paragraph. And we
and
talked about your mood.
Referring to endorphins, right,
yes.
that are released in our body
mm-hmm.
that make us feel good.
Right. And we talked about mood yesterday. We all want to be in a good mood, right? And exercise can help with that. But I would say, you know, just as much as anything, it's what are you thinking about? You know, what you focus on all the time is very important. And if you're focusing on negative things, well, then don't be surprised if you have negative results.
Right.
And that can stress you out. If, you know, oftentimes, you know, we talked about this with our social media article that we were discussing going onto social media sites and people compare themselves with others and that sort of thing. Those sorts of things can also, I don't know if stress is the right word, but they can put us in a bad place.
Right.
You know?
And if you talk to any, like, psychiatrist or psychologist mm-hmm. or counselor, they'll say turn off that negative talk in your brain.
That's right.
You actually have to work at
yeah.
turning it off.
You have to be intentional.
Yeah, you do.
And so that's something else that, of course, greatly affects our moods. Well, next we talk about being decisive. This is a good reminder. Let's find out about that in our next reading for today.
Be decisive. We face dozens of choices every day, and each of them taps into our mental capacity and requires us to make a decision. It turns out, being good at making decisions may be good for our health. Research shows that decisive people may have lower levels of the stress hormone cortisol than poor decision makers. Want to be more resolute? Simplify your decisions by focusing on facts so you understand what's really at stake.
Are you decisive? What does it mean, Lois, to be decisive?
This word always makes me wonder if I am or if I am not.
Are you indecisive
yes,
or are you decisive?
Like, do I have difficulty making a decision?
It sounds like you do because
well,
you can't
you know
decide.
I know. I think it depends on how many people it affects. That's for me. If it's like for my own personal self, like, do I get out of bed this morning or do I go away for the day and enjoy like shopping or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when it affects maybe two or three or four other people in my life, I might think about it a little too long sometimes.
Yeah, you can think too much, but it's good to consider other people. How about you, Linda? Do you find that you're more decisive or indecisive?
I wouldn't classify myself as decisive.
So you're indecisive. You just don't want to say it.
Women
and I understand
have,
that.
What's that saying? We have the...
tendency?
Well, we have the right to change our mind anytime we want to.
Yeah.
So maybe that means
true.
We are indecisive, maybe.
Yeah, a lot of, well, I'll let you just...
You're not going to comment, right?
I won't comment so much on that. I'll stop myself. But actually, I can be very indecisive in many situations. I don't like that, and I think we need to many times be more decisive, depending on what it is. Maybe, actually, in most situations, we need to work on being more decisive. And, of course, if you are decisive, you are making decisions quickly. But, you know, it's important to think about things as well. So you need to have the wisdom to know, is this a situation where I need to pause and think about this more? Or is it something I need to make a decision on? And sometimes I think when we're indecisive, it's about things that don't really matter that much, but we make too big of a deal out of it.
And sometimes I think maybe we're being indecisive because we should actually consult some other people.
Yeah.
And maybe we don't practice that enough anymore
right.
in our society.
Yeah, and I don't even know if that would be considered so much indecisive. That I would say that's wise. You don't always make a snap decision on everything. But if you're talking about where you're going to eat for dinner, maybe you know somebody has to step up and make a decision, right? And so that's important. Well, we face dozens of choices every day, and each of them taps into our mental capacity. And this is the point. It's draining your energy. When you're indecisive, you're going back and forth. Should I do this or that? And it drains you.
Exactly. It's exhausting if you're indecisive, because like you said before, we're overthinking things. We're thinking about things that don't really matter, but we're going back and forth and...
You overanalyze, yeah. And I'm that type of person. I can overanalyze things. Well, it turns out being good at making decisions, Lois, it actually may be good for our health. And research shows that decisive people may have lower levels of the stress hormone. So again, here's some science that helps make us want to be more decisive. All right, mm-hmm. It gives us an incentive. And we talk about this hormone, cortisol.
Yes, we do. And I'm going to have to flip my magazine here. No, I'm just kidding. Cortisol, it says, a steroid hormone that is released by the body in response to and to help manage stress.
Okay.
I had forgotten it was, I actually had learned this a long time what the name of that hormone was, mm-hmm. but I had forgotten that. And I'm glad they also put it in our specialized terms.
That's right. And so this hormone, it helps you to manage stress. And, we don't want to have to, rely on that, right, Linda?
Right. We don't want that much cortisol in our system. So we can do that by lowering our stress level.
Right. So want to be more resolute, just talking about you're determined. You're determined to do something. And, of course, if you're decisive, you are determined to do something. Well, simplify your decisions by focusing on facts so you understand what's really at stake.
Yeah, so that means to me, don't be overly emotional.
Yes, don't focus on your feelings too
exactly.
much.
Exactly, and sometimes, depending on the type of person you are, you might be quite emotional with your decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes when you are, you either don't make the right decision or you make a poor decision, or you take forever to make a decision.
That's right, yeah. And so, you know, feelings have their place, but if we let them lead us, we can get into trouble. And so we need to focus on facts and understand what is really at stake here.
Right, look at what might be lost, right? So look at it clearly and try to not be emotional about it.
Because I'm married and it involves two people, we kind of do, my husband and I, this pros and cons list, and it really helps. It's not always the easiest to sit down as a pair and do it, but I think in the end it helps, and it also stops you from pointing the finger later and going, but you wanted to do that,
right.
And I wanted to do this. You do it together.
That's great advice. Mm-hmm. Well, so far we've talked about working up a sweat and being decisive. What's next? Let's find out in our next reading for today.
Reframe problems as opportunities. Bottling up your feelings breeds anxiety. The next time you're sweating something, pause and ask yourself, what are the positives? How can I look at this as a stimulating challenge rather than a problem? Changing the way you look at a situation can help you respond in a less stressful way.
All right, well, we're talking about reframing problems and looking at your problems as opportunities. You know, there have been many times where I've thought of something as just another responsibility, but if you instead think of it as an opportunity, it can change your point of views and And we're also here talking about bottling up your feelings, which is not good, Linda.
No, not at all. It's when you keep whatever you're feeling inside and you don't release it. That can breed anxiety.
All right, so it can make you anxious. You need to share. You don't have to share every little thing, but don't just keep a lot of your feelings inside. And I think men are known for doing this especially. People mm-hmm. can do that in general, but I think men can do that even more. Well, the next time you're sweating something or that you're stressed out about it, pause and ask yourself, what are the positives? You know, look on the bright side, Lois.
Right. It also says, how can I look at this as a stimulating challenge rather than a problem? And I think sometimes people's personality does maybe always look at things as a problem or maybe trouble, and they want to run away from it.
Right, but look at it as a challenge.
Yeah, and look at a challenge. Don't always think of the word challenge as a negative word.
That's right. And change the way you look at a situation. This can actually help you respond in a less stressful way. So reframe. The next time mm-hmm. you view something as a problem, think of it as an opportunity and a good challenge to take on. Well, we have one more section today. We're talking about seeing every glass as at least half full. What does that mean? Let's find out in our last reading for today.
See every glass as at least half full. Are you a pessimist? You may have a genetic predisposition to a negative outlook, but chances are you can change your outlook through your experiences. The best strategy is to deliberately avoid other pessimists and surround yourself with optimists whose positive vibes are infectious. It's also important to feel as if you have a purpose every day, whether that comes from your work, family, and friends, or an activity. Having something that you're passionate about and achieving goals related to it can help many people have a more optimistic outlook.
All right, do you see every glass as half empty or as half full? What does that mean?
Well, it's just your perspective. Mm-hmm. Are you a pessimist or an optimist?
Okay, so a pessimist has a negative outlook. Right.
And optimists, you have a more positive outlook.
And it talks about you may have a genetic predisposition to a negative outlook, Lois.
Mm-hmm. I found this really interesting when I read it. A predisposition means this state of being likely to behave in a particular way or to suffer from a particular disease. So maybe you have pretty negative parents or grandparents, mm-hmm. and you've just been around those people maybe too much.
All right, and sometimes we are around pessimists, and maybe we need to spend less time with them. And so think about your friends. It doesn't mean you want to necessarily cut everyone off, but it is important to focus on your thoughts and what you're spending time on. And so it's important to feel as if you have a purpose every day. This is a very important point. What is your purpose behind what you're doing? Do you know your purpose in life? That's important to focus on and think about. And that is something that we all should think about in the coming year. What is my purpose? Why am I here on this earth? Unfortunately, we are out of time today. We thank you for joining us for this month's health article, and we hope you will join us here next time on Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon.
Lois.
Linda.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.